My take at thetakeaway.org. Some geography and some biology now from Matt McGrath, BBC science reporter, who's watching the situation of the swine flu outbreak and the spread across the world from his post at our partners, the BBC in London. Matt, thanks for joining us.
No problems, John.
So as you look at the map of where we've seen cases, do you think it complicates a response to the virus, the lack of uniformity of countries dealing with it in their own ways based on either cultural or political sort of methodologies?
It's very difficult to say at this time because this is still a very fluid situation. We've had the World Health Organization last night saying they were upping the level of concern from 3 to 4, meaning that they see sustained transmission from one human to another. And they were saying that it is a very fluid situation, and they were saying that containment was not the way to go, which means basically closing borders and trying to stop people traveling, in their view, was not the best policy. Their view on the best policy was simply to try and mitigate it, which means to treat people if they get sick, to stop people getting sick and spreading it in their own countries. They say that globally, you know, containment is not where we're at right now.
Well, I want to talk about containment in a moment, but scientifically, is uniformity of response really the best plan in a situation like this? Everybody gets the same antivirals. Everybody has access to the same sort of, you know, health treatments. Everybody has the same diagnostic tools.
That would be great in an ideal world, but we don't live in an ideal world. In different countries, a different level of preparedness by a long way. I mean, the situation in some respects has been exacerbated perhaps by the response in Mexico to the outbreak, not having lab facilities to do the testing, having to send the samples to the United States and to Canada to get them confirmed. You look at a place like Hong Kong, which has outbreaks of SARS and other diseases in the past, and how prepared they are. They have 6 labs on standby. They've got 1,400 beds ready for people to go into them. They've got a database of people who can deal with this sort of thing. There's different levels of preparedness depending, I guess, on experience that people have had with diseases in the past. And this is one of the things that's brought out. You know, we are different and we have different responses. The WHO and other organizations try to make that better by lending their expertise. But there's no doubt there's going to be different responses in different places.
So, Matt, talk to us about the incubation period, as far as we know it, of this virus. A lot of the responses, the government suggestions to people involve either staying away from other people during this period of incubation, and that somehow affects the infection rate. Explain.
There's a lot of uncertainty about exactly how long this is incubated for and the level of virulence of this particular strain. There's one school of thought that feels that the number of people who died in Mexico is based on the fact that this virus is extremely virulent and has killed its host, if you like, killed the people that were carrying it very quickly and therefore limited its spread, and that it may have mutated in some respects, become a little bit milder, and that's why it's spreading more evenly amongst people and more quickly. That the issues of incubation and the issues of when the best time to get treatment to people, again, we're getting kind of conflicting signals from different countries at different times. We've had ministers here in the UK saying, you know, 5 days is, wait 5 days and see what happens to you. You've had other people saying, well, you know, you've got to get those drugs into people in the first 48 hours because that's the crucial time when they have the most benefit. We're getting a little bit of mixed signals at the moment, and I think it's based on the fact that we don't know enough about the virus. We don't know enough about its particular abilities, its particular virulence, its particular strengths.
Well, let's talk about that term virulence. Now, let's be precise, because I think it's really important to be precise with language. When you say virulence, are you talking about some sort of toxicity of the virus or its tendency to propagate quickly and sort of overwhelm the host?
It's more about its ability to actually to kill people. I mean, that is one of the key things here. And we don't know enough about it yet to be able to say whether this is, because we have the big mystery here really is obviously the fact that lots of people in Mexico have died and people in other parts of the world have become sick, but nobody has yet died. And we're trying to understand and explain why that's going on. And part of that very much is this view that the virulence may have changed as the virus moved from Mexico, the epicenter, if you like, of the outbreak, into people who have just visited Mexico. Because at this moment in time, we haven't had people who have contracted it from people who've been to Mexico. Everybody's had a direct connection to Mexico. So we're still assessing the level of virulence, the level of threat that this particular virus poses.
The fact that we know about the epicenter, and it's even been traced to perhaps some incidences near a pig farm in February, according to the latest information out of Mexico, does that help us to understand what the actual scientific makeup of this virus is, as far as we know at this point?
Very much. I think that's the key thing here is establishing where the outbreak took place. place, how it transmitted to people, and who do those people get in contact with. You know, this particular place in Mexico that we're talking about, where this pig facility was, and there was an outbreak amongst the local people shortly afterward, where several hundred people were infected in a very short period of time. That has to be nailed down, because that, you know, sometimes people get the wrong idea that it may not necessarily have come from the pig facility. It may have come from another source. The scientists need to get in there, to do the test. They need to try to do the basic finger printing work, basically, to try and track this virus to its real origin. And that will give them clearer view as how we should take forward the response.
How long do you think it will take governments to learn and researchers to learn whether this has the potential for being a truly airborne transmission virus, or it's something that will require fairly intensive contact to transmit?
I think we already know that it's transmitted person to person via the normal routes of flu and colds, which are pretty simple, and that the virus can, you know, survive on surfaces like phones or, you know, doorknobs for a couple of hours or possibly longer. We know things like that about flu viruses, so there will be that level of knowledge in the scientific community anyway. But it will take probably another week, another 5 to 7 days, to really establish the origins and the level of threat that this particular virus poses. Because at this moment in time, you know, we have more confirmed cases in the United States than you do in Mexico, where you've had 150 deaths. And that's obviously a problem of the laboratories and a problem of the science and a problem of an understanding. At this moment in time, samples are being shipped from the United States and from Mexico to other parts of the world, to other labs. Some are due to arrive here in the UK tomorrow, at which point the scientists here will be able to get their first look at what's really happening. And so then you'll have a greater knowledge amongst the scientists out in the world who will be able to put together a better picture. So I'm thinking that over the next week at the utmost, possibly in the next 2 to 3 days, we'll get a clearer view of where this virus is going.
BBC science reporter Matt McGrath in London. Thanks so much, Matt. And now Femi Okeh has some headlines.
Thanks very much, John. 29 minutes past the hour.